It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Hello, hello. Welcome, everyone, one and all. It is April 30th, 2021. It's 1900 UTC, and we're ending the week. We're going to be off for the next 2 days, but I think we had a good time. We had a couple of long music days earlier this week. I thought I was going nuts, working crazy hours, and it ultimately ended up being for nothing. So it kind of sums up the way things work, though. Anyway, let's go ahead, and we're going to take care of the news. We're going to start the way we always start.
World news.
That's right, with the world news. First, a couple of notable deaths. Sadly, Zulu Queen Mantfombi Dlani. This is sad. I'm sorry. I should have practiced before I started. Mantfombi Dlamini dies a month after becoming regent. The Zulu royal family in South Africa has announced the death of its monarch, Queen Shiwe Mantfombi Dlamini, Zulu, just a month after she became regent. Queen Mantfombi, 65, became interim leader of the country's largest ethnic group last month after the death of her husband, King Goodwill Swelithini. Oh, I remember that story. I had trouble saying his name also. The Queen's Prime Minister said her death had taken the family by surprise and they were utterly bereft. He has dismissed rumors that the Queen had been poisoned. A successor as ruler of the 11 million strong nation has not been named. It is the deepest shock and distress that the royal family announces the unexpected passing of Her Majesty Queen Shiwe Mantfombi Dlamini Zulu, regent of the Zulu nation. Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi, the Prime Minister said in a statement. It's very sad, especially whenever they were so close to her husband's death. And, where's the other death? I had another death ready here. There's another death here in one of these stories. I just apparently have lost it. A feature of several of the websites I use is that they often have what are called live news stories. And what they do is rather than do a long story, they'll write several short stories, but they'll update it throughout the day. So instead of a story, an example would be if the story is like XYZ person was arrested for a crime, then throughout the day they would post stories that are short, 200 words or something, about like what that crime is and how it came to be and then like who was charged, and they would just do a bunch of short stories like that. Sometimes I accidentally bookmark those instead of the actual story I was trying to get to. So it'll just take a second here to see. Here it is. This was the notable death. It just got buried. A Kenyan anti-vaccine doctor died from COVID-19. Dr. Stephen Karanja repeatedly said that the jab was totally unnecessary. A Kenyan doctor who became a vociferous opponent of the COVID-19 vaccine has succumbed to the virus weeks after saying the jab was totally unnecessary. Dr. Stephen Karanja, chairman of the Kenya Catholic Doctors Association, advocated steam inhalation and hydroxychloroquine tablets. He clashed with the Catholic Church over the safety of the COVID jabs. Health authorities and the WHO, World Health Organization, rejected his claims. The vaccine being distributed in Kenya has been reviewed and found safe, not only by the WHO rigorous process, but also by several stringent regulatory authorities, the WHO said in March. The Kenya Conference of Catholic Bishops also distanced itself from Dr. Karanja's view of the COVID-19 vaccine, saying the vaccines were licit and ethically acceptable. That was the other notable death. I'm sorry I went a little bit off on the live stories, but like apparently the BBC, instead of having like an African news section, they've just switched to a live film feed of different African stories. The other headlines that have come out since I started DR Congo ex-minister jailed for money laundering, And Germany, oh, we're going to talk about this. There's a, we'll get to it in just a sec. Let's go through. We're in our Africa block, so there's a bunch of stories. But Zimbabwe's tobacco farmers plead for a better deal. Born-face Batwero sits languidly in the driver's seat of his lorry outside the tobacco sales floor, an auction venue in the capital, Harare, where farmers gather around Zimbabwe to sell their crops. It's mid-morning on Monday, Batwero told Al Jazeera he was still waiting to receive a payment from a consignment of tobacco he had sold on Friday when he arrived from Centenary, a rural area in Mashonaland province, some 144 kilometers northwest. I'm waiting for my payment later today, said the 37-year-old tobacco farmer. I don't know how much they are going to pay me. Uncertainty has become a feature of Zimbabwe's biggest agricultural export. Tobacco Sales Floor, a division of the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange listed agro-industrial group, Tobacco Sales Limited, is one of the major auction houses in the country. After COVID-19 swept the nation last year, the Tobacco Sales Floor, like other auction floors, instituted a new marketing system that doesn't require farmers to be physically present when they sell their crops. Instead, one person represents a group of farmers at auction. In order to limit physical contact, to make sure they get a good deal. Batwero is still waiting to collect his money, but more than the inconvenience of waiting, he is concerned that a significant portion of his payment will drop in value before he even sees it eroding his profits. That's because under the new tobacco selling regulations put in place since the coronavirus pandemic struck, farmers receive 60% of their tobacco payments in U.S. dollars, cash in hand, they collect at the auction floor. The other 40% is paid out in Zim dollars, Zimbabwe's local currency, which is wired into their bank accounts. When on the surface, 60% payment in foreign exchange is an improvement over last year when tobacco farmers received 50% of their payments in U.S. dollars. The current discontent is rooted in that 40% balance is paid in Zim dollars and the longer waiting periods for actually receiving it. When tobacco farmers sell their crops, the Zim dollar payment is calculated at the official exchange rate, which continues to trail the black market rate. On a recent Monday, for example, the official exchange rate was 85 Zim dollars to 1. The black market rate was a far less generous 130 Zim dollars to 1. What's more, that gap can widen suddenly from day to day, meaning the longer farmers have to wait for Zim dollars payment, the greater risk that the black market rate turns against them, essentially eroding their real profits. The upshot that wait time can literally cost them money, leaving many tobacco farmers deeply disgruntled by the current arrangement. Perswad Mvumbi is a 33-year-old tobacco farmer from Bindura, roughly 66 kilometers north of Harare. He says he doesn't agree with the new payment regime because all the materials he needs to farm, from seeds and fertilizer to equipment, are priced in U.S. dollars, not Zim dollars. I'm not happy at all with the new payment system, Mvumbi told Al Jazeera outside the tobacco sales floor, where he too was waiting to receive payment for his crops. When I get U.S. dollar equivalent, in RTGS, real-time gross settlement dollars, also known as Zim dollars, at the official rate, it means I'm losing value, he said, punching a conversion into calculator to show the pitiful conversion. The exchange rate is really hurting us. Mvumbi said that back in 2019, his tobacco crop earned him $6,000 at auction, enough to buy cows and maize seed to grow crops to feed them as well as other items. We were able to build decent houses and acquire trucks and grow maize. Everything was good. It all changed in 2016 when Zimbabwe's economy was dollarized and the central bank, in an effort to relaunch a local currency, introduced bond notes, a surrogate currency that authorities say had the same value as the U.S. dollar, but that backfired spectacularly by feeding a speculative frenzy that continues to roil the Zim dollar to this day. So it's very interesting. There's a lot of... I was surprised at this article just because of... economics is really cool. Let's see. So yeah, they want better deals. They would rather get paid all in U.S. dollars, since it holds its value better. And on the radio, I heard of a great story. I think they were talking about Malawi. It was either Malawi or Mali. I think it was Malawi. They were talking to somebody, but there's big tobacco farms there, and they were worried because tobacco use has dramatically decreased around the world, and as other countries slowly start banning cigarettes or banning smoking, it's going to keep going. Let's see, a few headlines. President Hassan elected Tanzania's ruling party chairperson. Tanzania President Samia Suluhu Hassan was on Friday unanimously elected chairperson of the country's ruling Chama Cha Mapinduzi Party, or the CCM Party. And more than 700 people are arrested in Chad, according to UN Human Rights Body. More than 700 people were arrested in Chad on Tuesday during protests against the ruling junta, the UN Office on High Commissioner for Human Rights announced on Friday. And what else? Oh, Libyan Vice President Musa al-Kony begins to visit to Benghazi. The Vice President of the Presidential Council in Libya, Musa al-Kony, on Thursday began a visit to Benghazi as part of efforts to achieve national reconciliation and unification of state institutions. Anything else happening? Let's see. What else do we got? Yeah, we've got two other ones here. Here we go. Starving Malagasy forced to eat leaves, locusts for survival. Wait. Oh, this is in Madagascar. Why is this? Oh, it's because I didn't know where the country was, so I thought it was in Africa. How dumb am I, right? Here, we're going to move this over to
the Get
Pacific.
The news over with. I want to hear the music.
Okay, we'll get to the music. I've got a fun song about Dogecoin. All right, so here's the remaining Africa stories that I thought were cool. Germany plans to return to Nigeria by next year some historical artifacts known as Benin bronzes that were looted during the colonial era. This followed an agreement between Germany's cultural and political leaders to return the artworks that are on display in German museums. We want to contribute to understanding and reconciliation with the descendants of those whose cultural treasures were stolen during colonization, Germany's culture minister, Monika Greuters, said on Thursday. In recent years, European former colonial powers have been considering returning the works of art that were distributed across different museums. Thousands of sculptures and carvings were brought to Europe in the spring of 1897, the loot of British soldiers and sailors who conquered the West African Kingdom of Benin and modern-day Nigeria's Edo State, and that has been there's been a growing campaign to return them. That's exciting. All right, we'll come back with some more world news after this, but we've got a Dogecoin song first. This is Remy. He did a Magic the Gathering rap that I liked. So anyway, here you go. Check it out.
Coming up, bad news for savers, as even those with high interest savings accounts are seeing their money disappear thanks to inflation. But first, we'll detail every possible thing you could die from. He's a rational investor, dividend digester, saves some of his paycheck just like all his ancestors. Him looking for high yields, that's never the case. He's seeking 6% returns, slow and steady wins the race. When he checks his accounts just to see what they're fielding, it's like driving in Maryland, ain't nobody yielding. What is he to do? He shouldn't be in a drought, so he visits his advisor just to sort it all out. Inflation's higher than your bond rate, that's what I was fearing, so your savings account is slowly disappearing, and your CDs are pointless. That's not very funny. What would you like me to do? Put it all in dog money.
Dog money, dog money, dog money, dog money. I'm trading it in for dog money, dog money, dog money, dog money, dog money. I'm putting it all in dog money.
My 401k is now a 401k9. The sum of my net worth ain't no longer in a straight line. I'm making smart moves. I ain't gonna upon. I sold my IRA and bought an NFT of one. All in on Doge, I dish them out like a Tommy gun. You think I was statehood the way I'm passing on Washington? I feel like Matt Gates, you know what I mean? Assuring everybody it's above 18. It's a modern day gold rush, the prices will boom. Like Reggie White versus the Oilers, I'm headed straight to the moon. My broker's calling, you know that it's on. Buy dog money, don't stop till it's dawn. One more airbase, two more museums, three more walls, four more Supremes, five more stadiums. We're all out of fiat. Can you take trillions of these and go and make a Xerox? We pay our debts in our currency that might be unfurled if it's no longer the reserve currency of the world. Confidence in the dollar is permanent. Just ask any scholar. People are exchanging their dollars for dog money. Dog money? Dog money. Dog money.
We trading it in for dog money. Dog money. Dog money. Dog money. Dog money. I'm putting it all in dog money.
I figured that would be a fun little silly song, because Dogecoin has really been one of those cryptocurrencies that's just occupied the hearts and minds of all sorts of people who want to get rich quick. I know, when was it? I don't know. It was a while back. I remember buying like $50 worth of it and then selling it off for like $40 a long time ago. Meanwhile, one of my other buddies, he found a wallet that had like 400,000 Dogecoins in it, and he was like, oh, this is going to be great. But yeah, that cryptocurrency is a big joke. It's just so silly. It's like, there is no restriction on the supply. And so it's just, anyway, I find it to be silly. I'll probably be proven wrong. It'll be the new currency that everybody's using. Who knows? I'm not a fan of it though. All right. Well, let's go ahead here. I have managed to ramble way too much today. I think it's because I've just been stressed, and now I'm not feeling so stressed. But whatever. Let me be sure and tell you this. Somebody that you should be listening to is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. Happens every single day at 1930 UTC. It's after this show. It's in about 15 minutes or so, 13 minutes. So be sure to stick around, check that out. Or if you need to go take a break, go make some tea, just come back by 1930 so you can catch Tobe and the Dubious Goals Committee. And this is Tobe's show is on every single day. The Dubious Goals Committee is every single day at 1930 UTC. And it's on anonradio.net. So it's anonradio.net is where you can find the schedule, see all that kind of stuff, what's going on. And Anon Radio is powered by SDF. So if you want to chat with us or hang out with people while the show's going on, just SSH over into SDF.org and then run the COM program, COM, press enter, G for go to, and then type Anon Radio, all lowercase, and you'll be in the chat room, and it's a good time. So definitely check that out. Okay. Let's go ahead and power through these stories because I just picked too many stories and there's not going to be enough time to talk about all of them. Kyrgyzstan says 31 were killed in clashes at the Tajikistan border. Kyrgyzstan said 31 people have been killed in heavy clashes at its disputed border with Tajikistan as officials from the two ex-Soviet countries met Friday in a bid to defuse tensions. Clashes between communities over land and water along the pair's long-contested border are regular occurrences, with border guards often getting involved. But shooting that broke out Thursday between the two militaries was the heaviest fighting in years and raised fears that it might escalate into a wider conflict. Tajikistan, a closed authoritarian state, has yet to officially acknowledge any deaths from the clashes between servicemen on Thursday. The leaders of both sides remained in touch Friday, offering hope that the conflict, which began after communities clashed over an important piece of river infrastructure, can be cooled. President Sadir Japarov of Kyrgyzstan said, and his Tajik counterpart, Emomali Rahman, spoke by telephone on Friday. Japarov's press service said, and agreed to meet in the second half of May. The heads of the state agreed to resolve the current situation exclusively by peaceful means. So, Kyrgyzstan on Friday published a detailed list of properties in its Batken region that had been damaged, highlighting the scale of the clashes along the border. Among the properties were a border post, more than 20 homes, a school, 8 shops, a casino, according to the Kyrgyz Emergencies Ministry. Thousands of people evacuated from villages at the center of the conflict have been placed in specially organized points in Batken's administrative center or went to visit relatives, according to authorities in the Batken region. So, there we go. So it's kind of some turmoil going on there. So this, I wanted to do this and the Benin bronzes at the same time, but I messed up. Bronze Age treasure found in Swedish forest by mapmaker. A man surveying a forest for his orienting club in western Sweden stumbled upon a trove of Bronze Age treasure reckoned to be some 2,500 years old. It includes about 50 items such as necklaces, bracelets, and clothing pins. The cartographer, Thomas Carlson, said, "I first thought it might be a lamp, but when I looked closer I saw that it was old jewelry." Swedish archaeologists say it's very rare to find such a hoard in a forest. Ancient tribes usually left such offerings in rivers or wetlands. The hoard was on the forest floor next to rocks. It is thought that one or more animals had disturbed the earth, leaving the many items semi-exposed. They've been dated to the period between 750 and 500 BCE. Mr. Carlson said he had spotted the metallic glint while looking down at a map he was working on. At first, he thought the ornaments were copies, as they were in good condition. Then he emailed a local archaeologist while having a coffee in the forest. Regional newspaper Göteborgs Posten reported. So, archaeologists describe it as a depot find, that is, a hoard deliberately left as an offering to a god or gods, or to invest in life after death. The jewelry is extremely well preserved, said Professor Johan Ling, lecturer in archaeology at Gothenburg University. Most of the items can be linked to a woman or women of higher status, he said. The treasure includes a type of rod used to spur on horses, previously found in neighboring Denmark, but not in Sweden. Okay, they then have a picture of a long nail, and it's like, this is a bronze pin for a cloak or robe. But before I read that, I was like, wow, that looks like she was stabbing the horse. Swedish law requires anyone finding such antiquities to notify the police or local authority, as they are regarded as state property. The Swedish National Heritage Board then decides what reward, if any, the finder should receive. Mr. Carlson said a reward would be a nice bonus, but it's not very important to me. So yeah, that's pretty cool. I thought that was neat. All right. Keep going. Got to talk faster. There's so much going on, and I want to talk about it all. Anyway, France is going to offer COVID-19 jabs to all adults from June 15th forward. President Emmanuel Macron said Friday that vaccinations against COVID-19 will be open to all adults from June 15, regardless of any medical condition. People over 50 will be able to sign up for a jab from May 15th. He added on Twitter, compared to an age limit of 55 currently. Health Minister Olivier Véran said earlier that vaccinations would be open this weekend to another 4 million people in France, with people aged 18 to 50 with chronic illnesses such as heart conditions, high blood pressure, or obesity now eligible. More than 15 million people have received a first jab of COVID-19 vaccine in France, corresponding to 29% of the adult population. And COVID is dominating lots of news stories, for sure. The UK is reporting coronavirus variants first detected in India risk becoming the UK's second most dominant within weeks. Experts have warned after total cases rose to 400. Public Health England said on Thursday that there was no evidence of widespread community transmission or that these variants cause more severe disease or render the vaccines currently deployed any less effective. But other scientists said it was worrying that the UK detected case appear to be increasing rapidly despite England still being under social distancing restrictions. India was placed on England's travel red list from April 23rd, restricting arrivals to citizens and residents who must quarantine in a hotel. India has been plunged into healthcare crisis due to a surge in cases that may in part be due to variant B1617. First detected in India is a variant under investigation in the UK that has raised concerns because it contains two escape mutations that may help it to evade the body's immune responses. An extra 61 confirmed cases of B1617, or I guess B1617 is probably easier to say, were recorded in the UK in the week up to April 28th, bringing the total to 193 cases. So this is scary, especially because India states run out of COVID jabs amid record infections. India on Friday posted yet another record daily rise in corona cases as hospitals across the country ran out of beds and oxygen. A United States military plane brought the first emergency supplies as part of a huge international aid operation to help the country battle its devastating surge. Latest updates, several Indian states ran out of coronavirus vaccines a day before a planned widening of nationwide inoculation drive. Inoculation centers in the finance capital of Mumbai will shut for 3 days from Friday because of the shortage. Delhi's chief minister, Arvind Kejriwal, urged citizens not to show up at vaccination centers on Saturday as doses had not yet arrived. Karnataka, home to the tech hub of Bengaluru, the southern state's health minister said its vaccination drive for adults would not begin on Saturday. So it's really awful. It's really bad in India right now, as we've talked about a few times. Brazil passes 400,000 COVID-19 deaths as vaccine rollout stalls. There's a photo that's pretty chilling. It's cemetery workers wearing protective gear shovel dirt onto the coffin containing the remains of a COVID-19 victim at the Inahuma Cemetery in Rio. But the gravestone is a simple white cross and it has a six-digit number on it. It's got like 13. It's 138434. So it's kind of spooky to think that people are dying so fast. You can't even write their name on a tombstone. It's just a number somewhere. So here we go. Brazil on Thursday became the second country to pass 400,000 COVID-19 deaths after the United States, and experts warned the daily toll could remain high for several months due to slow vaccinations and loosening social restrictions. Brazil on Thursday registered 3,001 new COVID-19 deaths, taking its total since the pandemic began to 401,186 fatalities. A brutal surge of coronavirus infections this year has pushed hospitals around the country to the brink and led to 100,000 deaths in just over a month. So, it's just awful. But infectious disease experts warn that this easing... Brazil's COVID-19 deaths have fallen slightly from a peak of more than 4,000 in a single day in early April, prompting many local governments to ease lockdowns. But infectious disease experts warn that this easing will help keep deaths elevated for months, as vaccines alone cannot be counted on to contain the virus. Two experts said they expect deaths to continue to average above 2,000 a day. And that's the kind of stuff that worries me about going out and scares me, is it's like, even with vaccines, you can't just open up. It's like, stay home, try and quarantine, be mindful. So that's going on there. I want to mention this story. I'm sorry that I mixed it up, because I have no idea where Madagascar is. Where is Madagascar? Let's go to the maps. I'm such a dummy sometimes. It's very funny. Madagascar, where are you? Oh, Madagascar is that island off of East Africa, down on across the water from Mozambique. New Zealand and Tasmania are the islands off by Australia. Golly. That's pretty embarrassing. I guess I mixed up Tasmania and Madagascar, maybe? I don't know. Either way, let's talk about it. People in southern Madagascar have been reduced to eating wild leaves and locusts to stave off starvation after consecutive drought and sandstorms ruined harvests, leaving hundreds of thousands on the brink of famine, according to the United Nations World Food Program, which is abbreviated WFP. Amer Dawadi, senior director of global WFP operations, warned on Friday the lives of Malagasy children are in danger, especially those under 5 years old, whose malnutrition rates have reached alarming levels. Speaking by video link from Madagascar's capital, Antananarivo, it's Alpha November Tango, Alpha November, Alpha November, Alpha Romeo India Victor Oscar. Antananarivo. Dawadi told a UN briefing in Geneva he had visited villages where people have had to resort to desperate survival measures, such as eating locusts, raw red cactus fruits, or wild leaves. Famine looms in the southern Madagascar as communities witness an almost total disappearance of food sources, which has created a full-blown nutritional emergency. I witnessed horrific images of starving children, malnourished, and not only the children, mothers, parents, and the population of villages we visited, said Dawadi, a veteran aid worker. They are on the periphery of famine. These are images I haven't seen for quite some time across the globe. And it's just very sad, so I wanted to be sure and mention that, even though we're running out of time and I had so many more stories to talk about. Oh, shucks. Anyway, so I guess that's all the short time we've got for news. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm just going to read headlines while the exit music plays. France detected 3 cases of the Indian COVID variant. Apple's been charged with anti-competitive app price policies. Ransomware is surging and ruining lives. The girl in the Destruct Disaster Girl meme has sold an NFT of the original image for $500,000. The NASA Ingenuity helicopter failed the launch. And the French nun and priest are among latest hostages released in Haiti. All right, see you guys on Monday.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
7, sick.